gonna start this out and say, I gotta get it off my chest. Got no anger, got no malice, just a little bit of regret. No, nobody else will tell you. So there's some things I gotta say. Gonna jot it down and then get it out, and then I'll be on my way. No, you're not half the man you think that you are. And you can fill the hole inside of you with money, drugs, and cars. I'm so glad I never. So sorry, I feel so sad.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris, my other half.
Hi, everybody.
Our show is available live on your radio, also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone. On our website, godisthecure.com, and we are broadcasting today live from Miami through satellite, available in North Carolina, Virginia, Utah, Iowa, New Mexico. And soon after, any show on any podcast player. There's other states.
Yeah.
This show deals with suffering.
What if the states get upset that you don't mention them?
Okay. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor of child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in several fields, and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information, knowing that education is necessary, awareness is crucial, and comfort is needed. I do believe we all suffer or have suffered from something, and we hope to be a source of healing for each other. But my healing came from God. Other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares, and there is always hope. The song that was played earlier was You Should Be Sad. It's a song I picked because it's a great song. Every time I hear this song, all I can hear is, you should be sad. Well, it isn't me. I'm not the one that's going to be sad anymore, or even anyone else, but Satan, who is a common enemy to us all. When we let go of anger and malice, all there is some regret as we start to realize that Satan isn't half the man that he is as we grow being wooed by money, drugs, and cars. And when Halsey sings, I'm so glad I never had a baby with you, I think, I'm glad I didn't stay dwelling in the darkness and lost. I'm glad God opened my eyes as I discovered pickpockets' ulterior motives. And every time I fell, I felt so mad. Having no warning like a thief in the night, he slowly steals your soul. But God saves me without breaking down. And I've come a long way. No more sadness. I've had enough of that. So yes, pickpocket, you should be sad. And also be sad for this. Today, we have a recovering porno addict, Joshua Shea. 57% of pastors say that addiction to pornography is the most sexually damaging issue to their congregation. Joshua Shea is a recovering pornography addict and the author of The Addiction Nobody Will Talk About, How I Let My Pornography Addiction Hurt People and Destroy Relationships. And he's a porn addict? Now what? Released this past January. Shea has appeared on over 100 podcasts television, and radio shows, using his personal story to promote the idea that porn addiction spans all demographics and those with problems should seek help before it's too late, as it became in his case. Prior to admitting his addiction, Shea was a prominent magazine publisher, award-winning journalist, film festival founder, and politician in Central Maine. And his 20-year addiction was reaching a critical level in late 2013. Joshua made the error of engaging a teenage girl in an online chat room, for which he was arrested and served 6 months in jail. In 2017, Joshua launched RecoveringPornoAddict.com. He has also contributed articles about recovery to TheFix.com and Recovery Today magazine, and has developed and presented a porn addiction lecture for churches, libraries, and other groups. Sober since early 2014, Joshua still lives in Central Maine with his wife and two children. Joshua, thank you so much for being with us, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me today, Amy. I really appreciate you giving me this time.
It's actually an honor, because it's very courageous what you're doing. I don't know of many people who would admit that they even have an addiction to pornography. And it's almost a normal thing in today's society. Nobody thinks a big deal of it, and people don't know the dangers behind it, which is a wonderful thing that you are a guest with us today, because sometimes it's too late. I'm curious, how did you get into the porno industry?
Well, I was... I'm kind of a stereotypical story when you talk about porn addiction. There was both sexual and emotional abuse that took place when I was very young that caused a level of trauma that I tried to escape from. When I was 11, 12 years old, I had an older cousin show me pornography for the first time, and it was like a light went on. It didn't develop into an addiction. It was an addiction from day one when I was 11 or 12 years old, very similarly to how the first time I tried alcohol when I was 13 or 14, that was an addiction from day one. I was just introduced to it, and I don't know exactly why it clicked, but it was like a light shined from above and said, this is going to help you through life. This is going to let you escape anxiety, stress, all of the bad things. When you need to gain control, you can use this. And that ultimately was the start of a 20-plus year addiction.
Wow. And, I guess that was your way to compensate, where you wanted to make maybe some sense out of your past, out of what you've been through, to try to kind of normalize it. I know my personal experience in my life, I did very weird things too, thinking that that's how I could normalize what happened to me, to try to hide from the reality of it all. And but I do know that it's possible. I read an article once that a detective that works with that kind of stuff, that pornography can get, it could get to a point that the person loses the value of himself and others. You forget what it's all about. It just changes the whole scenario.
Well, that's true of every addiction, and that's why when somebody says, oh, sex or pornography is not an addiction, the exact same thing happens in the brain that happens with somebody who is a gambling addict or a meth addict or a heroin addict or a food addict. You know, addiction is addiction is addiction. And
yes.
Just because sex or porn happens to be the itch that scratches your brain in the way that you need it to, that doesn't make it, any different. It absolutely does escalate. It absolutely does get worse over time.
Right. And I know that you hid your addiction for more than 20 years. What were the things that that occurred that had it all crashed down?
Well, as you mentioned in my introduction, I was very well known in my region in central Maine. I was a magazine publisher, very popular magazine. I was on my city council. I was on 101 different boards. But the thing was, I did all of these things to really escape who I was. Because when all of the, you know, meetings were done, when all of the, you know, fancy stuff was over and I was stuck sitting at home at 2 a.m. by myself because I couldn't sleep, I either turned to alcohol or I turned to pornography because I couldn't just sit with myself and I couldn't just be with myself. I had to escape somehow. Ultimately, what happened was after about 5-6 years, my magazine started showing signs of losing money. Our revenues flattened, but our expenses kept going up. And I am not a great business person. That's one of my failings. And I could not figure out a way to save my business. So I made a very poor decision for my mental health, and I pulled myself off of medication that I'd been taking for bipolar disorder for about 15 years. And wow. In doing, I thought that what would happen is that I would tap into a creative side and a bit of energy that, you know, what the medicine was holding
yes,
me back from.
And then we're going to talk about the entry recovery and what was that like, so that you can help us understand a little bit of what that addiction is. Some of us don't know. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We will continue talking about porn addiction and how it affects us when we return.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
Shout out to the old me and everything he showed me. Glad you didn't listen when the world was trying to slow me. No one could control me. Left my lovers lonely. Had to f*** it up before I really got to know me. Never and not alone. Anywhere you wanna go. Woke up in the morning wearing someone else's clothes. Pictures in my phone with people I don't know. Woke up in the morning, how the hell did I make it home?
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back. You're tuning in to The Cure with Amy Cabo, and thanks for tuning in. That was The Old Me by 5 Seconds of Summer. It's great when we appreciate the past and all the experiences, good and bad, for all the things we've learned, how we mustered through it all, and how strong we learned that we could become, finding our voices and fighting for the truth. I had to make mistakes, and it had to be rough for me to get to know, to really know me. But at least I was never alone. God never left my side. I appreciate who I am today. I also appreciate the old me, because it got me this far. We are talking to Joshua Shea, who's helping us reveal the negative effects of pornography.
Joshua, this is Boris. So,
hi.
Why do you think, hi, welcome to the show. So why do you think that pornography is bad?
Well, it's one of these things where I try to separate the argument with people of whether pornography is good or bad versus whether it can be a problem. It's like saying, you know, is beer good or bad? Is food good or bad? It's not inherently good or bad. Those are judgment calls each person has to make. What I'm trying to share with the world is that pornography can lead to addiction, can lead to problems. You know, it's like any other substance or behavior, whether it's gambling or you know, sex or food. It's one of these things that people can rewire their brains. It does touch their pleasure sensors, you know, the dopamine, the oxytocin. This does do the same thing as these other things that we know are addictive substances. And I'm trying to tell the world that this is an addictive substance. You know, do I think that there are people who can watch porn and it never becomes a problem? Yes, I know there are, just like there are people who can drink casually and it doesn't become a problem. But I don't think people recognize that pornography use can go off the deep end. And with the advent of the internet, the statistics are showing that our young people are absolutely blowing up when it comes to pornography addiction. So, you know, that's really why I'm here. I don't care if pornography is good or bad. For me, it's bad. For you, it may be good. But what we both need to know are what the possible outcomes of it.
Well, that's a great way to say it, Joshua. You couldn't have said it better, because any addiction interferes with your normal life because it becomes your God. Basically, that's what an addiction is. You put everything else second. And I agree with you. My concern is the youth. Most kids that I know have seen pornography or ran into pornography. And the problem is, if they find it so normal, then it can lead into dangerous behaviors. I know of a story of a detective that she worked with the FBI about kids raping kids. And one in these group of girls, they were watching a porno. And then she went home and practiced it on her little brother to tell her friends how now she knows how to do it. I mean, they don't realize that this is not something that should be taken lightly, because, I mean, my personal opinion, I don't have to see other people doing it to feel loved by my husband or to love my husband. That shouldn't make a difference.
Well, there is also a lot of problems, I think, too. It's very accessible. Online pornography, it's affordable, it's anonymous. People don't need to say who they are even so other people to know. And then this can adversely affect a lot of the development of people, the sexual functioning or sexual development.
Or how about human trafficking? How is there a connection with the porno industry and human trafficking? Can you tell us, Joshua?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's hugely prevalent in both the U.S. and Europe, as the internet has allowed anybody with a camera and an email address or an internet connection to film, be it children or adults, you know, in these horrible situations against their will. It's that is part of the sex trafficking, is all of the pornography that's out there that's done against other people's will. With the dark web and some of the underground stuff, the things that you'll find on there, you know, are absolutely heartbreaking. And it's also the internet is the main means by which sex traffickers communicate with each other. You know, we talk about the internet has been a wonderful thing for the world, but when I was a kid, you know, you had to go and find a Playboy magazine, or you had to find a video store that would rent you a dirty movie. But these days, we are giving every 9-year-old kid the greatest porn computer in the world with their telephone.
And it's happened to my own kids. It just pops up in their phone or in their computer. You have to go through all kinds of firewalls and all kinds of safety features. And still, there's no guarantee. It's a matter of education.
That's what I tell parents, is that, you know, I appreciate that you've put in filters and locks on your devices in your house. You've managed to take care of 3 devices in a world that has approximately 9 billion devices. What's going to happen when your kid gets out there and starts to see pornography? Are they going to be educated or not? Because you can't hide this from them. It's like you can't hide cigarettes from them. You teach your children that smoking is bad, they shouldn't do it, and hopefully while they're young, they don't. Odds are that they will experiment at some point, and hopefully what you've taught them doesn't lead to them smoking, but they can make that decision when they're 18 or 19, and they have the facts to make that decision. The problem with society today is we are not giving the facts to our young people so they can know that pornography does have potentially negative consequences.
Yeah. Well, in society today, what are the statistics of pornography addicts in today's world? Is it growing?
Oh, it's absolutely growing. Right now, if you talk about just men, across the board, all men, roughly 18% of all men are porn addicts, in the, are self-described
porn addicts. So there is hope. Only 18%? That's good.
That's all men. So that's about 21 million men in the country. Here's where it gets scary. When you look at men in the 18 to 30-year-old age group, that's all men under 30 years old, 32% say that they are either addicted to pornography or pornography is causing problems in their life. Now, that's one out of three men under 30 who says pornography is a problem. So if we don't start dealing with this, and they're going to start being 40 and 50 and 60. And some of the scary numbers are among black men, white women, and members of both the Catholic and LDS churches. They're absolutely exploding with addiction right now.
Those numbers are rising
at two and three times the rate of your straight white guy, because pornography, with the ease of the use that we can all get it now, you know, women didn't want to go to a dirty movie theater before. Women didn't want to, you know, be seen renting a certain video before. But now they make pornography geared towards women because it's very easy to deliver it to them, and any woman can watch it in the comfort of her own home without anybody knowing. So in the past, where,
and you know, enough people aren't talking about it, and that's what I want to know. Why isn't enough people talking about this? What's going on with society? Why is it growing? Why is it a growing problem? We'll return with The Cure. This is Amy Cabo. You're listening to The Cure.
Please
live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Don't forget the words I said, picking you up when you're feeling down. You get strong on thoughts left in your head. When you lost hope, soon you will be found. You don't know your worth, all the things I know that you deserve. Say it's not real if it doesn't hurt. Find someone you know will put you first.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi, welcome to The Cure with Amy Cabo and Boris. We're live on your radio, on our app The Cure, or our website, godisthecure.com.
All shows are available also as a podcast or a video podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabo.
Oh, we got it good this time. That was Know Your Worth by Khalid. God is our SOS, picking us up when we're feeling down. God is telling us we don't know our worth. You may be lost, but that's when we will be found. Because God loves us equally, even at our worst. God knows all the things that we deserve, and He really wants to do what's best for us. Don't believe the enemy's lies. The suffering doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to hurt. God will always put you first. Once we turn to God, there is no more looking down. It's time to keep our heads up.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our contact us page on godisthecure.com. And if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate. Thank you to everybody that had sent their songs.
We are talking to Joshua Shea. I think I'm saying it right, Joshua. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. About porn addiction.
Okay, it's
Shay. Shay, thanks.
Shay. Yep.
Shay, that's much easier. Joshua, your second book is for parents who have recently learned or believe their husband or boyfriend is a porn addict. In the book, you say that being the partner of a porn or sex addict is probably worse than being the partner of any other kind of addict. What can you tell us about that? I mean...
Well, absolutely. The thing that has been found again and again and again with the partners of porn and sex addicts is that they often blame themselves, and they often go through what's called betrayal trauma. Let's say they've been married for 7-8 years, and then all of a sudden it comes out that their husband is a porn or a sex addict, that and he hid this very well for the entire time. It's like she's meeting somebody she's never known for the first time, and she starts to wonder, you know, is this who this man really is? What else is he hiding? And you know, when you're married to a gambling addict, you're not asking yourself if your husband became an addict because you're not enough in the bedroom. Or if you're a food addict, you know, you're not asking yourself, did I do something wrong here? When women are with men who are porn or sex addicts, there's usually a ton of trauma that gets heaped on top of them. And
wow,
the female partners of addicts can suffer almost as much. After I wrote that first book, which was a memoir, I expected that I'd get addicts contacting me with questions. Half of the people who contacted me were wives or girlfriends who wanted help with their husband or boyfriend. And that absolutely shocked me. And that's when I started doing a lot more research and talking to a lot more partners and recognized that, you know, my wife, it hit her, you know, real rough when it all came out that I had my problem. But some of these women go through intense trauma, intense heartbreak. You know, most of them need just as much therapy and have to rebuild their lives just like the addict does.
Wow. That's incredible. And from what you've learned,
why are we not talking so much in society about that? It's like a taboo that doesn't exist. Everybody knows it exists.
There's a few things behind it. I believe number one is that it involves naked people, and we're still very squeamish in society about naked people, even though we use them to sell everything.
Yeah.
Number two, when you talk
well,
about
reading porn, about you, I found out you did a naked podcast.
I was not naked. The other person was.
Well, but I didn't even know that existed. I'm like, wow.
And you know, and I did that to show that nudity and pornography are not the same thing.
Right.
That
okay.
If you're,
I,
if you're
I get,
an addict,
I get that.
That's something else. But anyway, I think that it also has to do with the fact that pornography is taboo, and I think it's really taboo because it usually comes with masturbation, and nobody wants to admit that they do that. If you say you watch porn, it's like saying you masturbate, and nobody wants to admit it, despite the fact that 67% of men under 50 watch porn monthly. Nobody wants to admit it because there's all these personal things.
Because it involves only satisfying yourself. Yes, of course.
Well,
nobody wants to admit they're selfish.
Nobody wants to admit what they're looking at because a lot of people, it's fantasy, it's escapism, and they look at things that they would never participate in real life. And nobody wants to admit what their little kink is or what scratches that itch because a lot of times it's outside the norm, so it brings them shame. So when people are shamed, they don't want to talk. That's why I've said we can't start talking about pornography addiction until we drop the stigma of talking about pornography, because statistics suggest far more people view pornography than not. So we should be able to bring some normalcy to it.
Is there a point to where what they're watching is not enough satisfaction for them and the pornography has to become more detailed or more serious or more into the pornography, and it just becomes like you need more and more and more to satisfy, you know, that emptiness that you're not satisfying it correctly?
Absolutely. With every addict I've met, and that probably is numbered into the hundreds now, all of us have escalated it. You know, at one point, it was fine for me to look at a magazine. Then I needed, you know, moving people, so it went onto the internet, and I needed videos. And eventually, right before my crash, I started going into chat rooms and talking to people. And getting, you know, convincing them to take off their clothes, because I needed it to get more extreme every time. And it got to the point where I needed to start interacting with them. And that's like, you know, that's like the alcoholic who moves from beer to wine to shots, or the gambling addict who starts low,
or the abuser. It happens with those too. Or the child abuser. It gets worse as time goes by. It's never enough.
That's exactly it. Addiction doesn't stop. It just escalates. It only stops when it is forced to stop.
And what if it escalates to the point that you're willing to do things that you would have not normally have done, like rape someone or do something to your wife that would hurt her? Or, you know, what if it becomes dangerous? And that's why in any addiction, any extreme, it's so, not good.
Yeah. How do you seek help for that?
Is there help for that?
Yeah, there is, and it's actually getting better. I'll tell you, in 2010, there were only 900 certified sex addiction therapists in the U.S. In 2017, that number had risen to 2,500. So there are more professionals out there as this problem gets worse. There are also more 12-step groups that are starting, like Sexaholics Anonymous or Sex Addicts Anonymous, but those are still falling behind. There aren't nearly as many meetings of that as there should be. There are websites like mine, Recovering Porn Addict, that do list a lot of resources. There are online forums you can go talk to people. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wrote my two books was because I couldn't find resources in books that talked about pornography addiction, so I decided I'd just go create them. So there are now other people doing that as well. So there are now starting to be resources for people if they want to go and learn more about this.
Thank God for you, Joshua. You know, more and more people like you are needed just to show that we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all do crazy things, things we're not happy to talk about, but we're still willing to help. And I feel bad for the women who are with, you know, porn addicts. I was just imagining what you were saying, how difficult that must be. What would be your best advice for women who have a boyfriend, or men in that case, where their spouse is, or boyfriend or girlfriend is a sex porno addict?
Well, the first piece of advice is, number one, try not to judge, because people who feel judged feel shamed, and they're not going to open up and talk about things. If you come down on me hard, why would I start talking to you about this? So even though you're disgusted, even though some of the stuff he looks at may turn your stomach, try not to judge him. Secondly, try to create a safe space. Let him know that he can talk about this. Let him know that you're not going to kick him out. Let him know that things are going to be okay. And then what you really have to do is talk about, how is he going to move forward? I stress to people that you need professional help, even if it's just to create a strategy. You need professional help that can let you know where you are and can let you know what direction you need to head in. In almost every case, if you're a porn addict, there is trauma in your background, and you need to get through that trauma and discuss that trauma and work through it if you're going to have a shot at taking care of the addiction.
And most importantly, besides being understanding, is letting him know that you'll look at him with Jesus' eyes and that you'll love him unconditionally. When we're back, we'll continue talking with Joshua Shea about porn addiction. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to share a story about porn addiction, call us 1-866-34-TRUTH. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
It's okay. You can do it.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
There's a time that I remember when I never felt so lost, and I felt all of the hatred was too powerful to stop. Oh, yeah. Now my heart feels like an ember, and it's lighting up the dark. I'll carry these torches for you, and you know I'll never drop. Yeah. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright. Raise a glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got. Oh, cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Oh, no. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories. Yeah. And the memories, bring back your.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Oh, and this is The Cure. You can listen to us live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on our app, The Cure, on your radio, on social media. Just look for God is The Cure.
Later the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure with Amy Cabo on any podcast channel.
If you're just joining in, we're talking to the recovering porn addiction specialist, Joshua Shea.
Also a porn addiction specialist.
Okay. The song that just played was Memories by Maroon 5. We were once engulfed in the ways of the world. Some of us felt lost. Anger, sadness, and hatred too powerful to stop. Then again, God makes it possible for us to become a torch of kindness to light up the dark. We all hurt sometimes. But as long as we are alive, we can make it all worthwhile. So here's a toast to the ones who have come and gone and the lessons that we have learned along the way. All those memories bring me back to you, God. Otherwise, I would have never been born.
Please send us your request for a song on GodIsTheCure.com in the contact section. And you might win a $25 gift certificate. Now, I hear that we have a caller, Judy, from Raleigh. Judy, you're on the air. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, I think that I'll make my comment first and I'll get the backstory. This is a very important topic, and I really, really feel that the only answer and the best answer is God's Word. And I'll tell you, I was molested as a small child, and I was addicted to fantasy. It wasn't only until I started praying for God's Holy Spirit, reading the Bible on a daily basis, and there's verses in the Bible, there's one that says, deaden, therefore, my, something about deaden your sexual parts so that you don't have these sexual urges, and there's another one that talks about prioritizing. I can't even remember now, but there's verses in the Bible that so, and I think when people have too much time on their hands and not enough serious stuff going on in their life where they're focusing their energy on helping others, doing positive things, it's rebalancing, and if you need to get rid of certain things or devices, there's just so many things that people can do that would be such adding blessings to their life as opposed to, and and the Bible talks about these days, I truly believe we're living in the last days where it says people go from bad to worse. I'm not saying that people that are just,
well, but doesn't in the Bible, doesn't it say in the Bible to deny yourself? I mean, I understand we have to love ourselves and take care of ourselves because God loves us, but it also says to deny yourself, and anything that's self-serving, you should always think of serving others.
Absolutely, and we live in a very selfish entitled society, and it's me, 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 and it's, you know, I mean, look how many people are getting, transforming their appearance for what? I mean, you know, and, but the key is that it says in these last days, people will be going from bad to worse, the people will be very debased. Read 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it talks about what people will be like in these last days, and I'm telling you, I know this isn't popular, it's going to upset a lot of people, but if you're not willing to repent, seriously repent, get down on your knees and make changes, when Jesus comes, you ain't going to make it. Because,
well, you know what, Judy? That's why there's hope, because there's people like you and there's people like Joshua, and there may be a lot of evil and a lot of hurt, but there's so much good, and that's what I like to focus on, because that's what we're here for. Thank you so much, Judy. I can understand what she was talking about, being addicted to fantasy. It's almost as if we don't want to believe it's something wrong. So we'll just make it right, and we'll learn to love it instead of hate it, or instead of not like it, or instead of stay away from it, or instead of learn from it. But Joshua, in the meantime, can you tell us, well, what is the tidal wave of porn addiction in the horizon? There's some kind of something trying to ban pornography.
No, the whole idea is,
I don't get it.
Should we ban pornography? What do you think, Joshua?
I think that's a waste of time, because there have been people in different groups trying to do that since the 60s and 70s. And if you look at the growth of pornography, they have had absolutely zero impact.
You've begun offering an advertisement service for addicts and advisement service for addicts and partners. How is that different from traditional therapy?
Well, I find that my job is to get them to therapy. Many people are afraid of the idea of sitting down with a therapist, of sharing their deepest secrets. The fact is, a lot of times when a porn addict will talk to me, I'm the first porn addict or other porn addict they've ever talked to.
Wow.
They learn that I won't judge them. They can tell me what they looked at.
Nice.
I'm not going to tell them that they've done anything wrong. For
nice.
Them to open up for the first time, it's so powerful. And what I try to do is, I usually only work with people between 3 and 6 sessions. But what I do is I get them ready to seek that next level of treatment, that without me, I don't know that they'd go get that treatment. I just try to make them comfortable with the fact that what they have is a condition. It's a medical condition. It's a disease. And they need to seek help for it.
They can get cured from it. It's not a disease they can't cure from. That's terminal.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I'm absolutely
good point
for that. I have to manage.
So Joshua, you don't watch? So you don't watch no porn movies right now?
No, not at all. Cool.
We don't drink alcohol. Why not?
I'm just asking.
We don't either. So
yeah,
good for us.
and the thing is, and you know, I can see a naked man or a naked woman in a movie, and it doesn't set me off and send me down a bad road.
So that's proof that you can. That's proof that there's hope that you can cure from it. It's not a life sentence.
Exactly. Much like I can sit across from my wife if we go out to dinner and she has a glass of wine, I don't need to have it. You know, you develop the skills.
And your wife is no longer a piece of meat that you want. And your wife is now a beautiful woman that you love.
Well,
like
she
it.
Always was. It just took me too long to realize it.
Wow. What a
I
big,
like
you're
it.
A big man, Joshua. Thank you for saying that. See, I need to say something like that.
Joshua, we so need people like you. It's wonderful. It just comes to show that it doesn't matter what you've done, who you've been, or who you are. You can still be a beautiful, wonderful person that's so much needed in this world.
Well, but perspective is huge. I realize that God put me here not to be a politician, not to be a magazine writer, but to talk about this. And I had to go through those experiences. To get to this point, so I can.
And this
you.
Is much bigger, by the way. Much bigger.
Yeah.
So many people are affected by that, absolutely.
I love it. You're moving mountains. You're moving Prime. Mountains, buddy. Because, you know, it could lead to dangerous behavior, and I worry about...
We're almost finishing with today's show, though, so only a few minutes left.
Yeah, we're done again today. Until next Saturday. But thank you, Joshua. Thank you for being with us. And the very important part you play to help others with porn addiction. Thank you.
Yeah. So what was your website? More information on Joshua can be found on recoveringpornaddict.com.
And that's where the counseling services are, right?
Anything else. Yeah, everything you need to know about me, recoveringpornaddict.com.
How to get in contact with you, how to receive counseling. Wonderful.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And
thank
you
for having me on the show.
Of course.
It's our pleasure. And to our audio producer, Jasper, the awesome Jasper, thank you for being with us today, making the show sound beautiful.
Jasper, sometimes she tells me awesome too, but more rarely.
And Robbie, he's such a good guy. We love him too.
Yes.
We want to announce that we will start a series of shows beginning of April based on my book. Believe it will be very interesting to talk about in detail. Yes, very interesting. How nice.
Thank you, Robbie, for the idea.
That's Robbie. He's always giving us great ideas. But for now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to pray to all that have got into pornography. And it grieves me as to imagine the damage that it is doing not only to themselves, but also to their families. Lord, I just want to lift each one of them up to you and ask that in your grace, you would meet each one at their points of need. Give all of us wisdom to know the best way to help each of our friends. Lord, I pray that you would convict each of them of their need to repent of this behavior and break free of their destructive and sinful addiction. I'm sure that this horrible addiction to pornography is a destructive tool of Satan, who seeks to destroy and distort all that is lovely and pure, honorable and godly, and encourage all that is evil and lustful. Thank you, Lord, for I know that you are God who hears and answers prayers. Give us your wisdom so that we should know what to say if the need arises, and also when to be quiet and leave the matter in your hands. I ask that in your grace you would undertake in each of their lives to lift them out of this pornography and return them to the path of purity and grace. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure.
Please check our podcast, The Cure with Amy Cabo, our app, The Cure, or our website, GodIsTheCure.com.
And a big thank you and a big virtual hug for being with us. Everyone who's been watching and listening, till next week, much love.
Listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.